Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, the 25th of April, the streets of Rome are filling with people, from pilgrims to world leaders, as the Universal Church prepares to celebrate Pope Francis's funeral on Saturday. Meanwhile, we continue to collect memories and reflections on the Pope from those who knew him and those who loved him. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. 149 cardinals present in Rome held their fourth general congregation on Friday morning as they continued their discussions about the current state of the Church and the world. During the meeting, the papal liturgist explained that Pope Francis's funeral mass will be that of a shepherd and not of a sovereign. Devon Watkins reports.
The 149 cardinals present in Rome held their fourth general congregation on Friday morning in the Vatican's new Synod Hall. Matteo Bruni, the director of the Holy See Press Office, told journalists afterwards that the congregation began with a moment of prayer at 9:10 a.m. and lasted until 12:20 p.m. There were 33 interventions from the cardinals on the state of the Church and the world. At the end of the meeting, the Master of Papal Liturgical Celebrations, Archbishop Diego Ravelli, addressed the cardinals to explain the funeral rite for Pope Francis, noting that it will be the funeral of a shepherd, not of a sovereign. Archbishop Ravelli added that the late Pope's body will not be exposed on a catafalque or raised platform. At the funeral mass on Saturday at 10 a.m., visiting dignitaries will be arranged according to protocol. The presidents of Argentina, the Pope's homeland, and then of Italy will be followed by members of royal households and the other presidents in French alphabetical order. Mr. Bruni explained that the procession with the vehicle carrying the Pope's body to St. Mary Major will leave from the Perugino door to the Vatican and that it will not pass through St. Peter's Square. The procession toward St. Mary Major will take about half an hour, he said, adding that the Pope's coffin will be visible. Mr. Bruni said the interment of the late Pope's tomb in St. Mary Major will be a private act. On Sunday afternoon, the cardinals will go up to the Marian Basilica at around 4 p.m., where they will pass through the Holy Door, visit Pope Francis's tomb, and then gather in the Pauline Chapel, where the icon of Maria Salus Populi Romani is housed. They will then pray Vespers together. In conclusion, Mr. Bruni said that around 150,000 people have paid their respects to the late Pope in St. Peter's Basilica as of noon on Friday. I'm Devon Watkins.
Mourning the death of Pope Francis, the Jesuit Refugee Service, JRS, has lost not only a father and a Jesuit brother, but the world's most vocal and authoritative voice for migrants and refugees. JRS International Director, Brother Michael Schuff, told Vatican Radio that the death of the Pope has left a huge void in a world increasingly indifferent to the plight of the most vulnerable, but that his legacy provides solid foundations on which to build solidarity and peace.
I think his voice was really decisive because his voice was the only global voice in a changing world that actually advocated for human dignity, especially for migrants, also for living together in the common home and for religions working together for reconciliation. When I spoke to refugees, they are all really, really feeling the big loss. What Pope Francis did for refugees is he gave them visibility. He gave them a place in the world, and with this thing he said, you are part of the human community, you are part of your local community, as much as the so-called powerful people are. He spoke about it, but he did many gestures in that respect. He took people in his arms, gave them the public stage, and let them speak up for themselves. Also, he defended the dignity of people, and he knew very well that dignity is necessary in order to create peace. So I think what we are losing with Pope Francis is not only an advocate for refugees, more than that, we are losing an advocate for peace. This, I think, was his mission he was especially preoccupied with throughout his pontificate and at the end.
Thanks to his legacy, you will have a lot to build on.
That is right. And we are very conscious that he encouraged us during 12 years to build up our own voice. So we in Jesuit Refugee Service feel we have to speak with the same clarity and we have to speak with the same courage in the future. This is what he leaves to us. And this is what he encourages us to do, even if we are not in agreement with everyone else. That's the work that we want to continue, and that's the thing we are very, very grateful for Pope Francis. We are going into a world which, with great speed, is a world of empires, where empires fight about their spheres of influence, and where the state, which used to be the principle of order, no, giving peace, security, some kind of wealth, where this state is going to be the principle and the cause of disorder, of violence, and a threat to peace at some times. This is what we are seeing. So I hope that the new Pope bases, as much as Pope Francis did in a very vocal way, the dignity of every human being into the center of his work.
That was JRS International Director Brother Michael Schiff speaking there to Vatican Radio's Linda Bordoni. Now, Pope Francis will be remembered for so much, including his efforts to include more women in the church, a legacy that the International Union of Superiors General, or UISG, remembers fondly. In an interview with Vatican Radio's Kelsey Gussie, Sister Roxanne Scherz, Associate Executive Secretary of the UISG, describes the impact Pope Francis had on the organisation, and she recalls how the sisters responded to the news of the Pope's death.
Well, I think all of us personally and as leadership at UISG just felt a great sadness. And then I think after that, there was the gratitude for who he has been for all of us as sisters, but our entire world, our church and our world. I think, you know, he's always been very open and supportive to sisters. And I think he had a special understanding being a religious himself. He was always available to meet with us at when we had our plenary assembly. So, but he was always a great support. And I think the other thing is we were very encouraged by the efforts he made to include women, sisters at the Synod, in different positions at the Vatican, and recognizing the gifts that we brought. And I think he also recognized how sisters around the world are very, very close to people at the peripheries. And that is something that I personally valued because my own experience of being called to serve at different peripheries in my lifetime. I was very moved by his first trip out of Rome, I think, to Lampedusa in 2013. And I'm sure for me personally, it was because of my own work with refugees in Africa for nearly 10 years. And that he was so moved and concerned by the migrants, refugees fleeing such difficult situations and then losing their lives in the journey. I was very moved by that experience.
That was Sister Roxanne Scherz, the Associate Executive Secretary of the UISG, speaking there to Kelsey Gussie. Now, as preparations are underway in St. Peter's Square for the solemn funeral mass for Pope Francis on Saturday morning, the Basilica of St. Mary Major in the Roman Esquiline neighbourhood is preparing to be his final resting place. His mortal remains will be taken there from St. Peter's Basilica after the funeral rite in a 4-kilometre-long procession, and they are expected to arrive at the Liberian Basilica just after noon. A selected group of around 40 poor people will be waiting outside the church to pay their last tribute to their beloved Pope before his entombment, a symbolic gesture that underscores one of the defining features of his pontificate, his unwavering closeness to the marginalised in society. Lisa Zingarini reports.
In the final stretch of his earthly journey as Bishop of Rome, Pope Francis will not be surrounded by the powerful, but by the least in society, those who were placed at the centre of his magisterium and pastoral ministry. The late pontiff's final tribute will feature the presence of a selected group of some 40 poor people, homeless, migrants, prisoners, who will gather on the steps of the Liberian Basilica to pay their last respects, not only as mourners, but as people who were personally touched by his pastoral care and advocacy. Holding a white rose, they will be the last to bid farewell to the late Pope just before his burial. The idea of organising this final encounter came from an exchange between Auxiliary Bishop Benoni Ambarus, Secretary of the Commission for Migrations of the Italian Episcopal Conference, and Monsignor Diego Ravelli, the Master of Pontifical Liturgical Celebrations, who wanted to strengthen the presence of the poor on the funeral day in a meaningful way. Speaking to Vatican media, Bishop Ambarussa, who worked closely with Pope Francis in charitable missions, described the gesture as deeply moving and symbolic, as it illustrates the late Pope's insistence that those often pushed to the margins of society are in fact central in the eyes of God. In his words, Pope Francis will be welcomed by the Mother Mary he loved so much and his favourite children, who will surround him on his last journey. The Holy Father, the Romanian-born bishop emphasised, always invited everyone to take action, and he did so himself. He always contributed personally. As he used to say, charity passes through the wallet, and he never held back. I am Lisa Zingarini.
And finally, Vatican Radio, Vatican News will be providing live streaming and coverage of tomorrow's funeral of Pope Francis in St. Peter's Square, followed, of course, by the procession through the streets of Rome, carrying his coffin to the Basilica of St. Mary Major. Thaddeus Jones now gives us all the details so you know exactly where to follow.
Vatican Radio and Vatican News will provide live coverage of the funeral mass of Pope Francis in St. Peter's Square on this Saturday, followed by the procession through the streets of Rome carrying his coffin to the Basilica of St. Mary Major. Broadcasts will be offered in 15 languages, including 4 in different sign languages. The solemn Requiem Mass for Pope Francis will draw the attention of the entire world, recalling memories of a similar solemn moment 20 years ago with the funeral mass of Pope John Paul II on the 8th of April in 2005. At the same time, this funeral will mark a unique occasion for today's media, as it will mark the first time the transfer of a pope's mortal remains from the Vatican to another location for burial will be broadcast live globally. The Mass on Saturday, the 26th of April, will start at 10 a.m. Rome time, and that's when Vatican Radio and Vatican News will broadcast live the full Requiem Mass, followed by the procession. To ensure the widest possible audience can follow the events, the Dicastery for Communication, our parent organization, will provide live radio and television commentary in 15 languages. And they include English, Italian, Spanish, French, Brazilian Portuguese, German, Polish, Vietnamese, Chinese, and Arabic, along with 4 sign languages, American Sign Language, Italian, Spanish, and French. Television coverage provided by the Vatican Television Center, Vatican Media, will include aerial and ground video of both St. Peter's Square and the entire route to the Basilica of St. Mary Major. Multimedia coverage, print, radio, television, and social media, including commentary and in-depth analysis, will be offered in 56 languages, the same ones used across the platforms of Vatican News, Vatican Radio, and the newspaper L'Osservatore Romano. I'm Thaddeus Jones.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. Please visit vaticannews.va for updates regarding the Pope's death and funeral taking place tomorrow on Saturday the 26th. And remember that you can follow the events live with English commentary there as well as on Facebook and YouTube. Many thanks today go to Alberto Giovannetti, our sound engineer in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.